Wisdom, what is it? Anything Sharon Reichenberg says, we can go home now. There are certain people, though, that you know that they have wisdom. You wouldn't ask them questions. You wouldn't come to them for advice if you didn't think they had some sort of wisdom. It might be a wisdom in a specific area. It might be a wisdom with a specific problem that you know they've went through. But we label that as wisdom. We may not say it out loud, but we go to that person because they have advice in that area that you seek. And that's wisdom. Why do I want wisdom? Why do you want wisdom? I'll ask you.
Because I'm dumb.
Because we make poor decisions. I mean, you don't really think about that. Why do I want wisdom? Yeah, I know I need wisdom, but why do I want it?
To do the right thing.
To do the right thing. I want, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and that's always the preface whenever we teach these things. When I am a believer in Jesus Christ, my goal or my desire should be I want to please God in everything. And if that's not your goal, then you need to think about that. You need to think about, do I truly have a personal relationship in Jesus Christ? The older I get, the less percentage I think of Indian Hills going to heaven. Isn't that scary? You know, we automatically think if we come to this church and we hear this word, that these people can't sit under this teaching without going to heaven. Yes, they can. I encounter more and more people that are not living the life they should. And it's a scary thing. So if we are a true believer in Jesus Christ, we are going to want to please God. Do we do that all the time? No, we fail. That's why we want to learn wisdom. We want to fail less. We want to get this right. It's obvious that we want to please God, but obviously, too, it reduces mistakes in our life. If I'm living a wise life, I'm going to reduce mistakes in my life. I'm also not going to make rash decisions where I'm going to have to deal with consequences. If you do things God's way, you won't have as many consequences as you will if you don't do things God's way. And if we make rash decisions, he's going to bring a trial into our life sometimes to correct that. That's not always why we have a trial in our life. But sometimes he does that. So I want to get it right the first time, and I think you all will agree with that. I want to get wisdom so I don't have to go through God's trials. Or just that feeling of not knowing what to do here. So, and in other words, in summary of what I just said there is, I want to study wisdom so I don't waste my time here on earth. I want everything that I'm doing to be profitable for God's glory. Monday night we're studying worship. I want everything I want that I'm doing to be a true, meaningful worship to our Lord. And when you gain wisdom in your life, you will be able to do things that are pleasing to God. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to die and go to heaven and get an occasional award. I do desire him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the older I get, the more I know his word and the more I apply it, it's becoming more clear to me what I need to be doing. And yes, it will be different for each and every one of you. But I'm finding that there's really some unique joy in doing what you're supposed to be doing. Setting yourself aside, gaining God's wisdom, and living the rest of your life for the Lord. So, and that's only a half a page, I'll speed it up. The ultimate goal of wisdom is the training of our hearts to be equipped to live wisely to the glory of God. And there's not a more worthy goal of that than our life.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. I should probably put this on here. This was a quote in another book that I found. The ultimate goal of wisdom is the training of our hearts to be equipped to live wisely to the glory of our God. So the ultimate goal of wisdom is the training of our hearts to be equipped to live wisely to the glory of our God. And there's not a more worthy goal that you can have in your life. And that's going to manifest itself differently in each one of your lives. I can't emphasize that enough. What I am doing that I feel that I need to be doing to give God glory will look different than you. That's why you need your own personal wisdom. We can't come to church and say, well, this she's godly and she does this, so maybe I should do this. It has to come from within. You have to be spirit-led. All right, the definition of wisdom. Wisdom could be about anything. Okay, there was a time I had no idea how to start a lawnmower. I mean, we all have a starting point. And I gained wisdom on how to deal with a lawnmower. How did I gain that? Somebody showed me, I got the information, and then I did it. And then as I do it a lot, then I can figure out how to do it better. And I gained wisdom in using a lawnmower. I wish I was riding a lawnmower, but I use it. Wisdom that we're going to talk about for the rest of the time is godly wisdom. It's not just plain old wisdom. Because when Solomon, and I'm getting ahead of myself, if you read in 1 Kings, and we're not going to go to it, it's farther down. When Solomon gained his wisdom, when he asked God for wisdom, the wisdom he got was not only biblical. He got a lot of wisdom of a lot of different things. About plants, about... I didn't know that as I read through it. You'll have to read through that. But he didn't gain only godly wisdom. He gained all sorts of wisdom. We're just going to talk about godly wisdom. All right, Proverbs 9:10. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs, because we're going to spend, I think, all of our time in Proverbs. Here's where we start. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So to begin our journey to gain godly wisdom, we have to have a fear of the Lord. And Dwayne stole my thunder, but it was perfect. It was exactly what I had down. The fear of the Lord is two things. And I'm so glad he said what he said, because he said it is an awe of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, you are an awesome God, I want to serve you. But there is a true fear, an afraid fear, that we should have for our great God. He's in control of everything. And if you read the Old Testament at all, you better have a fear of sin, because he dealt with it in a fearful way. But it's a true balance of both. As we draw closer to him, we will fear him more in both ways. We'll have more of an awe for him, and we'll have more of a fear for him, and that's a good thing. That is where wisdom begins. A proper perspective of who God is and what he is capable of, the closer we get to God and the more we do fear him. This great God controls everything involved in my life, to the people in my family, to world events, to this very breath that I'm taking right now. If that is in the forefront of my mind, I am on my way to understanding of wisdom. If I'm thinking God is in control of everything, he is sovereign. Wisdom has many different looks, and I really think Proverbs 1, let's turn to Proverbs 1, has a really good biblical definition of what the concept, biblical concept of wisdom is. We'll read through it, through 1 through 7. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the young, youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then one simple statement about those who don't want wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't just ignore it, they despise it. So in these seven verses, and I just wrote these down because this is what I came up with. This is what wisdom supplies us with. I call them life helps. It helps us to know wisdom. And that's what we're going to do this winter study. We're going to learn more about wisdom, how we can apply wisdom. Know instruction. You know, when you get, I'll just say, furniture in a box, and you get all these boards, some of you can't relate to this, but some of you younger people can. Well, some of you older people can, because that was more popular. What do you look for first? The instructions. Okay, that's what I look for. That would be the wise thing to do, is to look for the instructions first. But instruction is just not teaching. It's figuring out how to do something. And when you are, you know, when the Lord is trying to teach you something, he wants you to know the instruction of how we're going to go about doing this. The third point, discern. And that just simply means to recognize or perceive clearly. You know, I love what wisdom gives you. There's some great adjectives here of what wisdom gives you. I am able to discern and see clearly what's going on here. Sometimes it's not so clear. But when we pray for wisdom, that's what it's going to do for you. We can receive instruction, and that just simply means I'm teachable. If you want wisdom, you've got to be teachable. You can't think you know that this way that I've done this for this many years is the only way that it can be done. Be teachable. Wise behavior. You act and react biblically. You have an understanding of righteousness, justice, equity. You give prudence to those who don't know. Prudence just simply means wise in practical affairs. You use caution with regard to practical matters. You're just being cautious, but you know how to deal with practical matters. That's prudence. You can give discretion, and that's the quality of being discreet, especially with reference to one's own actions or speech. It's very similar to prudence, but dealing more with our personal actions. Prudence is more with practical matters. Discretion is more with what I say and what I do. Look what wisdom gives you. And this is all in just this portion right here. And you increase in learning. You know, that goes back to being teachable. You will increase your knowledge of our great God when you gain wisdom. And a wise man will hear. And then he will acquire wise counsel. A lot of learning and the way you go about accepting counsel. We have to be able to accept counsel. And then the very last line is a reminder. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools will despise this. Fools will say, I don't want to hear what you have to say on this. Fools don't want instruction. And that they'll never get wisdom. And they despise the wisdom too. From the passage, wisdom seems to manifest itself in two ways. So I looked at those 10 items of what wisdom gives you, and two things come out to me. The very first thing is you are teachable. The wise person is teachable. We'll also see that they're humble, and we're going to see that later. But if you want to be wise, you've got to be teachable. You've got to be willing to learn. You've got to be willing to open that word of God and say, Lord, help me to glean today what you want me to learn today. There is no one in this room that has all knowledge. We need to learn from God's word. Sometimes I think I'm going to read this passage and I think I'm not going to get any more out of this passage than I used to. And it becomes extremely rich. God's word is an active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have to be willing to be teachable. And I want to learn. And we have to be teachable in two areas. From the Lord, from the Word. And that actually is easy because God's Word is perfect. But another area we need to be teachable is from each other. And that's not so easy. Because if Becky comes to me and says, Chris, there's an area that I'm concerned about and I know that you would like to know. And she says something to me, what do I do in my head? Well, Becky, you're not perfect. You know, we have a sin nature that says that. It's a little harder being teachable from others. But I don't care if she's not perfect. If she has something that she loves me enough that she's going to bring to my attention, I need to humble myself and consider it. Not everything everybody says to you is right. Meaning I don't have to cater to everything everybody says, but I do have to examine what's going on in my heart. No matter who brings it up to, because the Lord provokes that conversation. And how I accept that, and how teachable is my heart, how soft. The wise person always accepts counsel. It always takes it in, figures it out, becomes prudent, thinks through it. And I am talking to myself because I am a quick reactor, and I go through all those. I'm much better than I used to be about taking it all in, and we have to continue to grow in them. And then the other portion of it is proper thinking. We need to think less about acting right and think more about thinking right. You know, a lot of times I think, okay, I'm in a bad mood. Let's just keep our mouth shut today. Let's not say. We think about how we're going to act. Wisdom thinks about how we're going to think. Because what happens when we think properly? We act properly. We don't have to worry about how we act if we're thinking properly. So skip the middleman, go right to the source of the problem and start thinking properly. If you're not thinking properly, stop. Start thinking properly. Whatever it takes, if you have to go to the Word, because that will take care of my actions. The thinking properly in this passage is discerning, wise, prudence, discretion, understanding. It is demanding that wisdom will think properly. So that's really a good reminder for me. We constantly have to discipline ourselves to never get lazy with thinking properly. I can do that. I don't want to have to think properly. I'm just going to go through the motions, do the right thing, come to Titus Tuesday so nobody calls me and wonders why I'm not here. You know, I'm just going to get here. You know, I'm hoping that all of you were excited. And I know most of you. I know most of you were excited to get back, to get in the fellowship, to get the little nudge to be more godly than we were last year. And I trust that's the case. So we finally get to the definition of wisdom. These were three that popped out at me. Doing the right thing at the right time with the right motives. I heard that 2 days ago. Someone was preaching it, and he just simply said, you know, I could give you this big definition of wisdom, but it's doing the right thing at the right time with the right motives. Secondly, and I think this was kind of in your book, I reworded it, to live wisely is to orient everything about ourselves and our lives around God rather than ourselves. Good point. We're here as believers in Jesus Christ, and we've said it before. I became saved, and I didn't die. So there's a reason I'm still here. I have to orient everything that I'm doing around pleasing God. It really simplifies all those petty problems that we have. And then my favorite is the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and know how to respond accordingly. That's wisdom. And I really like the two words, the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and know, okay, how would he have me respond to this situation? It really evens out the roller coaster ride of emotions that life can present us sometimes. We have to see it from God's point of view. That's what he wants, because that's how he can equip us. All right, how important and valuable is wisdom in relation to life? I messed with that title. I had so many different titles, and then I get the body of it, and that's not what it explains. So I'd rechange. I didn't even know if this is what this section is about. So just ignore the title. We want to make decisions that please the Lord. You know, and God dedicated an entire book to wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs is called the Book of Wisdom, and it's mentioned 49 times in the book, so it's pretty important. What's nice about Proverbs is it's timeless. You know, we have a tendency to think it was written a long time ago, but it's extremely practical for everything that we deal with today. It will be extremely practical for everything that is dealt with in the future until we're all together in heaven. It was penned thousands of years ago, but it applies today. Ryrie says, the theme of running through the book is wisdom for living. The specific teachings include instruction on folly, sin, goodness, wealth, poverty, the tongue, pride, humility, justice, vengeance, strife, gluttony, love, lust, laziness, friends, the family, life, and death. Proverbs deals with all those things. That pretty well covers a lot of what we deal with. Almost every facet of human relationships is mentioned, and the teaching of the book is applicable to all people everywhere. That's another thing, too. It's not just to a specific group like the Jews or just to men. It's applicable to everyone everywhere, and that's why we study it. Studying and understanding wisdom makes us live wisely, and that goes back to the point I made earlier. So I don't waste time. I want to not waste time on focusing on things that really don't matter. Another quote, I think I have this, wisdom has to be our highest. Okay, good, I put that on there. Wisdom has to be our highest treasure. It is possible to become smart, powerful, and rich and not become wise. I think that's interesting if you think about that. You can become all those things and not be wise. Yet, true wisdom is the ultimate key to the use of our intelligence, the application of our power, and the management of our wealth. It is so useful for those things. You can have all those things and not be wise. But yet we have instruction on how to deal with all those things. So some verses on the value of wisdom. Number one, wisdom brings joy to others. Turn to 10:1, Proverbs 10:1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. I think as a parent, I understand that. When my sons do wise things, it brings joy to me. When they do foolish things, I want to kick them. Doesn't provoke good behavior in me either. But wisdom does. When you see someone acting wisely, it brings joy. You praise the Lord for that. The second point, wisdom is valuable before the Lord. Turn to Proverbs 8:11. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe this pursuit of wisdom in our life is more valuable than anything we could produce? Like the quote, wisdom has to be our highest treasure. And that's the verse that backs that up. And then the third point is wisdom is attainable, near, and clear. Wisdom is ready to be received. If there's one thing, if we were sitting in discussion group and someone would ask, Chris, what did you learn the most about this lesson or what have you taken away from this lesson? This would be it. I would say that wisdom is not a hard thing to obtain. You know, we wish we were wise enough to make a good decision here, and getting wisdom is not that hard. And I'll explain myself a little bit, because I had a discussion with someone last night about that, and we'll talk about that. All right, turn to Proverbs 1. You're there. No, you're not there. We'll just talk about how wisdom's available. Proverbs 1:20 through 22. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. You know, how long do you want to still do this the stupid way, is what it's saying. Don't be naive anymore. Turn to Proverbs 8 again, going back and forth. Proverbs 8, starting with verse 1. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice on the top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet? She will take her stand beside the gates at the opening to the city. At the entrance of the door, she cries out. Jump down to 8. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, a right to those who find knowledge. So wisdom is not that hard to obtain. Now, someone can approach you and say, well, I've been praying about this situation. It's not necessarily a biblical situation. It might be a job change. It might be, you know, something that's not biblical. It's not clear to me. you go through and keep it simple. You think, can I be a believer in this job change? I mean, is it weighing yes or no? Is it going to make me more godly? Everything has to be sifted through the life, through God's eyes, just like we talked about. And if it really doesn't matter, make a decision. Don't complicate it. Say, I'd rather do this. Okay? If the Lord doesn't want you to do that, I guarantee He will bring you back. You don't have to worry about it. Fret over it. Weigh it through biblical things. Is this good for my family? Is this, and I'm spitballing here. You have your own situation. But whenever I take it through a biblical lens, one usually is a little better than the other. If you make the biblical decision, you'll be blessed. I don't know how you'll be blessed, but you'll be blessed. So wisdom is not that difficult, but there is a willingness that we have to have. And it will come up in the characteristics of the wise woman, which is next. And I'm jumping a little bit on Janice's lesson a little bit, but, you know, she might say things way better than I will, so come back next week. These are along with the characteristics that we looked in Proverbs 1. Now, 1 Kings 4, 29 through 34 is where, well, let's go ahead and turn there. We got time. 1 Kings 4. First Kings 4, 29 through 34. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind. Maybe that's what I should pray for. Breadth of mind. When we get older, things slip out of my mind a little easier. I need more breadth of mind. Like the sand that is on the seashore. Can you imagine what went on in his head once he got that? The vast knowledge he had, that's just awesome to think about. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. Then I jump a little ways. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, I don't even know 3,000 words, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So, you know, you think of Solomon having that great discernment and breadth of mind, but he knew about so much even that wasn't biblical. How did Solomon get that? He asked for it. He didn't do anything to earn it. He asked for it. Now, we're not ever going to be Solomon, but the Lord loves it when we need him. The Lord loves it when we come to him and say, I don't know what to do here. That's not a sign that you haven't planned well or that you're not very smart. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to be dependent on him for our wisdom. And then he can overflow the wisdom for you. So how do wise characteristics of a wise woman, how do we get it? They are upright. Our verse, our memorization verse that we have is perfect. Proverbs 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Now, Duane said Sunday that Solomon concluded in his last book he wrote in Ecclesiastes that the conclusion is this: when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. He didn't say fear God and ask for wisdom. The key to wisdom being in our lives is our upright behavior before the Lord. We just have to obey what he says. Because I love what he says. He doesn't say that he gives us some wisdom. He is storing up wisdom for the upright. The people who want to get it right, he's got a boatload of wisdom for us. And he's waiting for us to live in uprightness. And he's a shield. He will protect those who walk in integrity. Those little things that we fudge on. And when I go through this, I'm thinking, don't let those Don't let those become a part of your life. Walk with integrity. Walk being upright. Wisdom will come, and a boatload of wisdom will come. Two, they will speak wisely. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. If you find that the stuff that is coming out of your mouth is not what it should be, we need to examine the heart. I always have to stop and say, okay, I didn't like what I said there. Why did I say that? The stuff that comes out of my mouth, if my heart is right, will be wise. And that wisdom will come to those who are careful with what they say. And then wisdom is seen in the humble person. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. So Proverbs 11:2 just says, if you're humble, wisdom will come. It's almost like he has to remind us, you know nothing, so he can give us everything. We need to understand that before the Lord, we are nothing. No matter what we think we are nothing. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, you're going to have a peace and a joy and wisdom. That's quite a gift. And then wisdom is seen in those who listen to godly people. We've talked about this. Proverbs 13:10 says, through insolence, and that's just simply rude behavior or speech, comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. For willingness to, that seemed to come back a lot with wisdom. We're willing to receive counsel. So the process of wisdom is simple. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are being sanctified. That just simply means that you're growing in the Lord. The Lord grows all of us in different ways. You know, he may use a trial to refine some. He may use patience to refine another. But know this, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's going to refine you. He's going to find a way to create growth in your life. Because he doesn't save someone and then just let them coast. There's no such thing. He will refine me. Be willing to be refined. You can either do it the easy way or you can do it the hard way. You can either be obedient to him and try to seek wisdom for your life, or you can ignore it. Wisdom goes from doing the right thing because God says we have to really taking pleasure in pleasing him with our lives. A life event that would have turned my world upside down 30 years ago now is being sifted through, okay, what would you like me to do here, Lord? There's a calmness and a steadfastness that you get when you look through life through God's eyes. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. I mean, I think that's really a unique statement in that the beginning of wisdom is you gotta go for it. You gotta want to study it. You gotta want to try to figure out what God wants. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. So wisdom is something you want to put high on your resolution list for 2016. We want to have a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I want to quote the final definition that I like, the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and know how to respond accordingly. That's my goal for 2016. And it should be in my response to you. It should be in my response to life trials. It's been unique to see people have life and death trials come into their life and to observe how they're responding. And from what I'm seeing, they're responding well. And we cannot do that outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. Equip yourself. Be ready for those times. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the book of Proverbs, the incredibly practical book that we have at our disposal to learn about all the things that we have to deal with in life. Lord, I pray for each one of these ladies here to prepare their hearts to accept what you have said in your word and to embrace it in obedience and joy, knowing this is going to make me wise. I thank you for how patient you are with us, that you do not give up on us. And I thank you that someday we're not going to have to attain this anymore, that we will have the wisdom that we need when we stand before you. Lord, help all of us to be servants of you, to always put others first and their needs. And I thank you for how you mold our hearts. Be with each one of these ladies today and the rest of the week. Help them to think properly about their situation so actions will come. In your precious name, amen.